Welcome back to The Snack, another episode, bite-sized content, in and out. You're here for a spoiler-free review of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. That's right. Andy the Giggler going to movie screenings all the time. Seeing them early. We're helping you out. Should you be seeing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? Let's find out. Released on March 22nd, 2024. We're recording today on March 20th. This is still 2 days from now. Andy, you are in the inside scoop for sure. The movie is taking place after Ghostbusters Afterlife. So, and that's the reboot movie they brought back after the originals. We're just ignoring the Kristen Wiig one a little bit. Everyone agrees. This one, Frozen Empire, directed by Gil Keenan. The writers, Gil Keenan, Jason Reitman, and Ivan Reitman. Columbia Pictures on this one. And a budget of $100 million. Cast is huge. McKenna Grace, Annie Potts, Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd is back, and I'm going to leave out some names so I don't spoil some of the movie if you're just kind of trying to stay away from the marketing and you want to know what Andy thought about it. Giggler, tell us how it went. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Where'd you go?
Frozen Empire. Same thing. I full on went, watched Afterlife right before this. Had to pay $4. Thanks, Apple TV. This one was at Ronnie's. Again, thanks.
Marcus Theaters.
Thanks to Ronnie's Marcus Theaters in South
Shout
County.
Out,
thanks.
Yes. South County.
Yes. Yes. Wherever. Always good. Allied Marketing again hooked us up. Ran into Sean again when we were walking in. And honestly, this was amazing. From the start already, the Gateway Ghostbusters are there. There's half the theaters wearing Ghostbusters outfits with their full on proton packs. Like, how did they get these weapons in here? And honestly, that set the mood from the start. It was pretty cool. They were like local celebs, like I imagine Dan's going to be in a couple weeks with his family. Isn't this right, Dan?
Yep.
I think you should tell.
We have costumes ready.
I think we should segue and have you tell us about your plans in a few weeks, if that's okay with Logan.
Go do it. Look, come on, we're fanboying out right now about Ghostbusters. Let's hear it.
Went to Afterlife with my two cousins, who are basically like my brothers. We dressed up. We went to the one in the Bluffs. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's since closed, the movie theater.
Regal. And, I think it was a Regal.
Yeah, we were taking pictures with kids, and then all of a sudden it was a bunch of like 40-something-year-old men taking pictures with us because we were dressed up. We wore the blow-up. We wore the blow-up one, so it's not like a weapon or anything. But we're expanding it to significant others. So there'll be about 8 of us all dressed up going, unfortunately, the week after it comes out, just due to travel schedule since I'm out of town, and my sister and brother-in-law are too, all going in St. Louis, trying to go to Ronnie's, but they have that day blocked out for some weird reason.
Hell yeah, so you're ready.
We're all ready.
You're jealous of Andy, who was at the screening. I know. Seeing some.
Flew back.
I invited him. I told him to.
Hell yeah, we'll get you there. We got the tickets. So yeah, we'll keep it spoiler-free again. We're going to protect you just like we're protecting Dan. How was the experience,
this
Andy? We're leading to that rating, but
yeah, this is sacred ground for Dan, so I'm gonna tread very lightly. Honestly, Afterlife, I kind of agree with Dan's prior reviews that I was like, this seems kind of like a kid movie, made a little bit geared towards kids. I still enjoyed it. Paul Rudd will make me watch any movie more or less. But yeah, Spenglers are back as long with Gary Gooberson. Love that name as well. Paul Rudd kills it again. You see, there's a lot going on in this movie. Like, they really delve into like each of the mainly the kids too. Those plot points. I don't want to get too much into those, but honestly, this was it reminds me of just like a summer family movie that maybe was just a little bit early in the year. Maybe because it's frozen and they don't want to be frozen during summer. I don't know. That's my vibe there. But Ghostbusters movie, I'm not a massive Ghostbusters fan to set the expectations there overall. But nice. I still really enjoyed this movie. A lot of good laughs. Camille Nanjiani was one of my favorite parts of the movie. He made it for me. You'll see what I mean.
Didn't really like Camille.
Yeah, I love him. I mean, he was like, if you take him out, my score gets cut in half. So
wow. Speaking of that score, I'm 4.0. What do you got?
Yep. Out of 4.0, I gave this one a 3.1.
We'll be right back. When I'm looking to catch the latest flick or indulge in a film classic, there's no place like the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema at the City Foundry, St. Louis, Missouri. It's where cinema and comfort collide, with plush seats, state-of-the-art visuals, and a menu that's a blockbuster in its own right. For you movie buffs that can't get enough, check out the Alamo Season Pass. For just $19.99 a month, you can watch as many movies as you want, up to one per day. It's the ultimate ticket for those who live and breathe movies. That's not all. The Alamo Drafthouse is more than just movies. It's an experience, with events that celebrate film culture, trivia nights that test your movie knowledge, and a bar that's a tribute to cinematic absurdity. It's the ultimate hangout for anyone who loves a good story. You can also book the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema for your private events, birthdays, celebration, corporate events, or even staple events like our screen and social. So whether you're a diehard cinephile or just in for a good time, join me and the crew at 3765 Foundry Way in St. Louis, Missouri. Dive into their showtimes and events at www.drafthouse.com. And don't forget to tell them Mostly Superheroes sent you, because every movie night should be legendary. All right, back to the show.
Very nice.
3.1.
Andy, does the New York, how does the New York setting feel versus kind of rural? I don't remember exactly where the last one was, but it was like rural kind of Midwest feel, small town. Does New York add back to the feeling? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some pretty, it was an IMAX. And at first I was like, is this a movie I need to see in IMAX? And by the end of the movie, I was like, all right, that just the ending alone was worth it for the IMAX portion. Yeah, you'll see what I mean. Dan, I'm really excited to see your thoughts. I think it definitely surprised me as being like I said, a not massive Ghostbuster fan. I think there's a lot in this movie for just about anybody, but especially like a family friendly. I still see the vibes there that it's like a little bit geared towards them, but there's definitely something for even us big kids.
So the villain in Afterlife was a kind of a throwback, callback. Looks like it might be going in a different direction this time. Do you feel like the amount of like callback nostalgia is balanced, or do you feel that this stands out as like its own concept?
There's a lot of
don't spoil
the last credit scene of Afterlife. Did everyone remember what that is?
Yes.
Like they
go ahead, spoiler it for Afterlife.
Winston,
what happened?
It was basically the machine, the ghost where they get rid of them in the
storage storage tank in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
going haywire.
That's
going
to be a big
that's
a big, I don't know.
Nice.
Call it the MacGuffin of the movie. So it's
right.
A big old.
Right.
It matters.
Yeah.
It matters. Yeah.
Maybe watch Afterlife again and stay after the credits.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say,
exactly.
Yeah, do we get a post credit scene in this newest one? Do we need to stay after?
Yeah. Do we need to stick around?
This one, I did not stay for post credit.
So you don't know?
I don't know.
You can't even Google it.
I had to
pee. Yeah, you probably could.
I had to pee. So yeah, this kind of lead me in a
hold
now
it.
We have
Andy?
To look up.
You have
don't,
one.
Jeez, you're gonna get a spoiler.
Yeah, don't spoil
don't
it.
Google
you want me to
it.
Look it up?
Let Andy
look it up.
Steph
yeah.
was looking it up while Steph was looking it up while we were. While
sorry,
we were,
Ian.
Like,
this is the podcast where we have to tell them that part.
Yeah.
This is like the job right now.
I mean. While he's looking that up, I will say, like, I thought the concept of Afterlife of, hey, we're going to make this a little bit, like, we're going to have kids in here, and we're going to have adults, so it's a little more balanced, is probably more mainstream approachable than the original Ghostbusters movies that was, like, you know, three white guys, and then one more guy joins
guys,
them, who are all in their, like, 40s, you know?
Yeah, it had, like, a little bit of a Stranger Things vibe, just bringing in the kids.
Yeah. I mean, it literally had one of the kids from Stranger Things in it. So.
I forgot about that completely. But
it is iconic, too. That first movie came out in 1984, Ghostbusters 2 in 1989. Great year. A lot of good stuff that came out this year, especially me from my mom.
Me too.
You too?
89, baby.
Wow,
yeah, my little brother is 89.
The end of the Cold War.
Same for my wife.
I'm your dad's friend.
My wife was born that year, and she provided another great review of this movie that I also gave her another two-minute review of Afterlife before.
Yeah, that's patron content there.
I'll start recording this.
Okay.
I'll start recording this. But...
All right, did you figure it out? Is there an in-credit scene?
Yes. To clarify, there's a mid-credit scene. I did see that.
Of the new movie, Frozen Empire, there is a mid-credit scene. Stick around for that.
Yes. No post-credit scene, though.
So after that mid-credit, you're
out.
It
was just one of those,
just one.
One of those LOL moments that just kind of makes you smile.
Okay.
All right.
I love this smile.
Okay, guys, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It's out in theaters. You heard it here first on Mostly Superheroes. You decide for yourself and then come back to our website at mostlysuperheroes.com to hear more about the movie, more reviews after the rest of us see it. Mostly Superheroes is proud to be funded in part by our sponsors. Mostly Superheroes is funded in part by paying patrons who receive early, ad-free, and exclusive episodes. Subscribe at mostlysuperheroes.com/support. Thank you for supporting your favorite independent podcast. Mostly Superheroes is an independent podcast owned and operated by Kerrigan Ventures in St. Louis, Missouri. Hosted by Logan Janis, Andy Hun, and Scott Swearingen. Brand and creative by Carrie Clark Design. Music by Audionautics. Learn more at audionautics.com. Find more at mostlysuperheroes.com.